this is Michelle Anderson, and I'm here with Sean Moody, who's running for governor as an unenrolled and independent candidate. And today we're in Waterville at the governor's restaurant. Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Michelle. Hi, Kim.
So, let me ask... I'm going to have to move closer to you. Let me ask you what I ask everybody first time I meet them.
Sure.
Why do I want to vote for Sean Moody?
Well, I think we're in a unique time. You know, we know going in this is going to be a tough year. I knew it was going to be a tough year. That's why I joined the race. I didn't do it because I knew it was going to be easy.
Right.
Wouldn't need me there. But I think the governor this term has really got to be a great communicator, a great collaborator, and a great leader. And not a forceful leader, you know, but a subtle, humble leader. Somebody that can bring people together without causing dissension or hard feelings. You know, it's really got to be somebody special to navigate through these challenging times.
And you're that guy?
Well, I believe we've had great success in what we've done, and it's been about other people, you know, empowering the people around us, building a good high-performance team, building a high-performance work environment for them to succeed in, really big on training and developing skills and challenging people to be the best they can be, reach their potential. And I think that's what lacking in the state government. It's just too much mediocrity, across-the-board pay raises, across-the-board cuts. You know, it's all vanilla. We've got to get in there and really challenge people individually, incentivize them to be the best that they can be.
Okay. Let me just point out, I notice you're not wearing a tie, and that seems to be one of the really big issues in this election. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, I'm a blue-collar guy. I mean, I obviously have a lot of business and financial acumen because of the size and scope of our enterprise. But I started working with my hands 13, 14 years old. I'm a craftsman. I'm a tradesperson. And that's my nature. So I'm not a suit and coat. You know what's interesting? They finally got on to it. You know, the new movie or new show, that CEO Undercover?
Yeah.
Well, I've been that CEO Undercover since I was 17. Because if you came into the shop, you couldn't pick me out from anybody in the shop.
You look like everybody else.
That's right. And that's how you know what's going on in your organization. You're right in there, right in the trenches.
So did you inherit the business?
No, actually, my parents got divorced when I was about a year and a half old. My dad relocated to Massachusetts, and my mom raised us. She was a self-employed beautician, raised the three of us at home. And, you know, I just started working on cars, fell in love with them, and saved my money. I was very good, you know, financially. Bought a piece of land at the age of 17, and we built that three-bay garage. And it's interesting, I got hit by a car 2 weeks before we started that garage. Broke one ankle and, you know, really stove up the other one. So we built that three-bay shop with me dragging that cast around and, you know, limping and lugging along there to help. But so that got completed in the fall of my senior year of high school. Basically, I was self-employed, a taxpayer, and mortgage back then was $67.44 a month.
And you were scraping for that?
Oh, I was petrified. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. But no, I started the business myself. But, you know, Michelle, one of the first barriers that I crossed, which I think every entrepreneur crosses or doesn't, is you think you can do everything faster and better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
When I hit about 19 to 20, I realized, you know, there's a lot of other people out there talented and more talented than I am. And I started to allow more responsibility to the people around me that we had hired. And that's when we really started to take off, and my personal skills and leadership abilities began to evolve. Is understand how much you can get done when you entrust and empower the people around you, give them the opportunity to succeed and grow. So that's been kind of the trademark of our success.
So you've been doing, you developed kind of a leadership knowledge base without really going to college to learn it or anything else.
That's right, yes.
At a young age.
School of hard knocks. learned a lot from mistakes, you know, that I made and tried to not make the same ones twice. I think that's the main way.
It's pretty impressive.
Well,
I'd like to see more candidates in more offices have that kind of experience. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to give you more than a minute to answer.
Sure.
What would you do about the budget? You can go on for as long as you need.
Well, this is exactly why I'm in this race. I understand, you know, we've built a poor fiscal foundation here. But I look at the problem as our challenge is twofold. Number one, we've got to grow our economy. And over 30 years in business, I understand what it takes to change the regulatory environment, the tax environment. And we've also had environmental accolades from the DEP and national awards. So we can do it not at the expense of the environment. As as governor, you've heard about consumer confidence. Well, business confidence is the same. It's probably at an all-time low in the state of Maine. So we raise that confidence on day one. Having a business person in the Blaine House is going to reignite that business confidence. Say, okay, we can spend, we can take that risk. The governor's got our back. But the second as important component is we've got to lower our overhead. You know, it's just 101, business 101. Grow your sales, lower your overhead, more profit. So in this case, for the state, we're going to grow our tax revenue by emboldening and igniting a business community. But in the same token, we'll lower the cost and the scope of state government, lower our overhead. And now the concept we're going to use, we've used it for 15 years in our business. It's called profit sharing in the private sector, but it's called surplus sharing. So you go into a department and you empower and incentivize the people in that department to save. As everyone knows, in a budget, if you don't spend it, you don't get it next year. Well, that's the wrong outcome that we're encouraging. So by empowering the people within that department, they get an incentive to save. It changes the whole dynamic. They know where the savings are. They do the jobs every day. They talk about it. Right. And so it's twofold. One, they're going to embrace cost savings ideas and initiatives, and then we can take our business acumen, because the lean initiatives were developed in automotive. You know, Toyota, Kaizen, Six Sigma, all developed in manufacturing and automotive. So we know them. We've implemented them in our business. We know how to do it. So how is the state workforce going to embrace that? Because they have an incentive to embrace it versus resist it.
How so? How do you incentivize them?
We'll give them a percentage, you know, whatever that may be, say, in their paycheck, an actual, like a merit pay, if you will, with a limit, you know, so it's not excessive. Right. The taxpayers would have something to say about that. But, you know, why shouldn't they be, you know, rewarded to say, absolutely, you know, that's what business is all about. So in the public sector, we just, nobody's introduced that to that scale. So, okay, we want initiatives, lean initiatives in state government. If you don't have something different in place, it's going to be rejected and resisted, and it'll be talked down like school consolidation, and it won't work. So we've done it, and it's just a matter of empowering and educating the state workforce to say, this is a good thing. You're taxpayers too. Right. You're citizens here. You're Maine people. We're all in this together.
Well, okay, I'm going to ask you something, and I've never done this before with a candidate. This may be the first interview, you know, in a tradition.
Sure.
I'm going to say a candidate's name, and I'd like you to tell me, it's not time, take your time, what the biggest difference is between you and that candidate in your mind. Okay, we'll start with Libby Mitchell.
Well, I think Senator Mitchell has a long legacy of helping the educational community, our social safety nets, you know, Department of Health and Human Services, and she's very well respected in that, in those areas. And I think the one factor that Senator Mitchell, and I've asked her about this at the forum, I actually made the comment, you know, Senator Mitchell, if you went with your kids, because she's touting that her kids now are starting their own businesses, which I think is wonderful, because they haven't been there. I said, you go run one of those small businesses for 4 years and have it really be growth and success, and I'll even consider voting for you. You know, because she, that's the one area, if you haven't started your own business, founded it, and grown it, you really don't understand the dynamics of business. And I would say, in all due respect, that that's the one side of Senator Mitchell, that the dimension that we would need for her to be successful leading this state government is that financial and business acumen and experience.